God's word today is from Exodus. We start with chapter 14, verse 1. The Egyptians will know that I am.
Chapter 14, and 31. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Chapter 15, 1 through 3. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength, hand, and my song. He has become my salvation. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Chapter 16, 1 through 4. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them to see whether they will follow my instructions. 16:31. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white, like seeds, and tasted like wafers made with honey. So be it.
Thank you, Mark. Children's Church, follow Miss Polly.
That's when she went. Debbie went out. Yeah.
Let's start with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, we
thank you for the sunshine, the beautiful weather. We thank you for the renewing of life that we see, especially the life that we have through Jesus Christ. Father, as we talk today and read Scripture and learn more, we understand that Jesus told the people that chose to come after him that he was the true bread of life. Help us to understand the nourishment that Jesus wants to provide for us, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we just thank you for this service time that we can have today and just pray your Spirit will come down and rain upon us, just like you rained down the manna from heaven for the Israelites. We just thank you and praise you, Father, for you are amazingly wonderful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have you ever been hungry? Do I have that candy bar still there? Or did I bring it in? I didn't eat it yet. This says who you are when you're hungry. And I noticed them at the store, so I got some. But Sherry tried to eat this all yesterday. I said, no. Some of them say, satisfied. But some of them say, I guess you don't eat it yet. They say you're tired, you're ornery, or whatever. But we're going to learn today that Snickers might fill you up for just a little bit, but it's not going to satisfy your true spiritual hunger. Okay? So, here you go, sweetheart. You can eat it now. Last week, if you remember from Scripture, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000. We saw Jesus' disciples there. We're reading from John 6. And my hero Andrew was there. Because when Jesus was testing the disciples, and he said, we're not going to send the crowd away. He said, you get them something to eat. If you remember, Philip said, how can we do this? We don't have enough money for a year's worth of wages to even buy each person a sampling of food, so they'll just have a taste. So Andrew came up and brought this little boy to Jesus and said, he's got some fish and some loaves, that's all he has. But you can use it, Jesus. And Jesus did, and he multiplied. And he fed all the people. And the Scriptures say that the people were full. They ate until they were full. But as we read on in John, we'll see that a lot of the people that said that they've come to follow Jesus were really only there to fill their stomachs. And that's so sad. Because Jesus can give us the bread of life that can fill us for all eternity. There was about 13,000 people that day that Jesus fed. Scriptures say 5,000 men plus women and children. So somewhere around 13,000 people. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine Andrew's faith. And sure, he wondered. But he still brought the little boy to Jesus. He said, here are 5 fish and 2 loaves. Use this, Jesus. And Jesus was trying to test them, trying to teach to them. And if we read on down to verse 14, it says the people wanted to make him king. These people had given up their lives. These people were called disciples. And if you remember, people that went after the teachings of a rabbi gave up the things of this world. They didn't worry about their needs. They chose to follow the master so that they could learn and train from them. In this case, they're following Jesus. They're not sure that he's the Son of God. They don't know who he is, but his miraculous miracles say that he is somebody that's empowered by God. And so they're following him to be like him, to be like Christ, where we get our word Christian from. But they chose to be disciples first. They chose to give up everything, to give up their own lives and do the will of the master, to learn from him so they could be like him. We're only in the 6th chapter of John, but we're over halfway in Jesus' ministry. So some of these people had followed Jesus for a year and a half or so. They had been with him since day one. But they still weren't sure why they were following him. And I want to stress that today, because a lot of people go to church and they really don't know why they're going to church. They go to church because they want to belong. They go to church because they were brought up that way. But do you hunger? Do you understand what does that means? Do you hunger for Jesus? Many people that day, 13,000 people came because they wanted to find out who this Jesus was. And like I said, it wasn't just a crowd that saw him there. It was people that had chose to follow him. They were chasing him all over the countryside. That means they weren't worried about their homes. They weren't worried about their jobs. They were worried about figuring out who this Jesus is. Jesus literally was at the height of his career, if you want to call it that. I use that word with parentheses around it. Because they thought Jesus might be the chosen Messiah, the one that was coming to save the world. But they didn't understand he was coming to save the world. But he was coming to save them from eternal death and damnation from God. He came to save them from their sins, not to come to be the king of that day. And that's what they were looking for. They misunderstood. They wanted a king to rescue them from their physical needs. But Jesus was there to rescue them spiritually. Jesus goes on to talk about bread being spiritual bread, and they didn't get the metaphor. Jesus said that he is the bread of life, the source of all life. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the reason that we are here today. Jesus is the reason that we can be redeemed back to a right relationship with God. Jesus was tested in the wilderness, just like the children of Israel were. And he was hungry. He knew what it meant. He went 40 days without food. And he was there to be tested, just like Jesus was testing the Israelites. And from Scripture, we see that they just mumbled and groaned, didn't they? They were fed daily. They didn't have to do anything but go out and pick the food up off the ground. That's the worst thing they had to do, and they couldn't follow instructions. They were told to just gather what they needed, but many of them gathered more than they needed. And what happened? It rotted. They were told to gather just what they needed on Saturday, but they didn't have enough faith that that would last till Sunday because they couldn't figure it out. They didn't have the faith like Andrew did to take just this little portion and see how God could use it. And if you do that in your life, you'll see that how He can use you, a sinful, weak individual, if you'll just let Him empower you with His Spirit and use you, if you'll have the faith. Scriptures say that you can move mountains. In Matthew verses 4 through chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, we read about Jesus in the wilderness. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. The Greek word used there is paneo. It means to suffer and be in need, to need daily nourishment to live. That's what the word means. There's another word the Greeks use. It's called limos, and it means to be famine or starving to death. So this is not the word that Matthew used here. Jesus wasn't starving to death, but He was hungry. He needed nourishment to live and to survive. The tempter came in verse 3 to Him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And that word is artos, which means food or that substance that we need to support that life. So Jesus needed this physical bread that would support His physical life. But Jesus answered in verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He quoted Scripture. He knew that even though He was in a hungry state, a weakened state, that He needed to worry more about His spirit. That he needed not to be tempted by the devil to overcome Him. And we have that same Spirit that led Him into the wilderness. We have that Spirit living inside of us as Christians. He was in extreme hunger, but instead of trying to eat, trying to fall to the temptation of the devil, He quoted Scripture from Deuteronomy. That's pretty cool. He quoted Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, where God says, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger." Now we're talking about the Egyptians that we read about earlier. "He allowed you to be famished or hungry." Not in need of famine, because they weren't starving to death as they thought we were. We say so many times that we're starving to death when we're not even hungry. We don't realize it. We don't know what starving to death means. And the children of Israel didn't know. They had just seen the mighty works of God delivering them out of the hands of the Egyptians. They walked through dry ground watching fish on each side of them or whatever they saw. And they doubted right after that. Said, "How are we going to survive? How is God going to take care of us? How is He not? How is He not going to provide for His children?" It's so obvious that He would. So it goes on to say, "And then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known." They never saw this. They didn't know what it was. This is something new that God provides for His children. Something new that He can provide for you as His child every single day of your life if you step out on faith. You might see something wonderful that you had never discovered before. "To teach them that man does not live on bread." And this is a physical word for bread or food again. "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Each day I struggle because I get up and try to face the things in this life on my own ability, by my own power. And it doesn't take me too long to realize that, wait a minute, I need God's help. We wouldn't even be able to be here and breathe if it wasn't for the fact that God loved us enough to provide oxygen. We want to look at this world and say how terrible things are becoming, and we want to say, where is God? Well, He's right here. That's why we are here. That's why we are breathing. That's why we still have the joy of grandchildren, the joy of church and everything else, because God does love us. And if we'll put our faith into Him, we might discover some manna. So, have you ever been hungry? Have you? Really hungry? How about starving to death? Okay, I doubt many of us have probably even been hungry, but anyway, in Exodus 14, God delivers Israelites from the hand of the Egyptians. In Exodus 15, they sing a song of praise. In Exodus 16, they grumble. Do we see something wrong here? And we wonder, how in the world could they do this when they see the things that God has done? But I challenge you to sit back in your life and see the things that God has done for you. When you sit back and examine, you'll see that God was there. It'd be like the story or song that you see that when you only see one set of footprints, that's because God was carrying you through those times. He wants to use each and every one of you. He loved you enough that He sent His only Son to die for you. What more can He show you about His love? Deuteronomy 8:3 says, He humbled them, causing them to hunger. Because we have to be humbled to come to the cross, to realize that we need a Savior, to know that God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to give up heaven to die for us, so that we could live. Matthew 5:6, Jesus' own words say, Blessed are those who hunger, that have a daily longing and a needing for nourishment, and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Doesn't say they might be filled. It said, blessed are those who hunger, who realize they need that daily nutrition of righteousness that comes through God's Word, that only comes through Jesus Christ. Matthew 6:11, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. He says, Give us today our daily, which means sufficient, necessary, uniquely meeting the demands of that day. Give us our daily bread. Why doesn't He say here to give us a week's worth of bread? Because we have to seek God daily. If we don't, we try to do things on our own accord, on our own abilities. And what happens then? So many times we fail, we fall. But all we have to do is get back up, because God is a God of innumerable times that He will reach His hand out to us. When Peter says, How much should I forgive? He's expecting an answer like 7. But he gets 7 times 70. Because that's how much God will give us, and even then more. Because He loves His children and wants the best for them. Matthew 6:25 says, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Jesus is trying to teach us here. Man cannot live by physical things alone. Sure, you need food for nourishment, but it's not going to save you. Sure, there are a lot of good things in life, but you're not going to find happiness and satisfaction in them. And what are you going to do when the times are hard? Who are you going to reach to? You're going to reach and cry out to God then, but not call to Him before that? We are bad about reaching out to God when we need something. And that's fine and dandy, but He wants us to reach out to Him every single day, because He is God. He is our Father. We have a right relationship through Jesus Christ where we can call Him Abba, Father. And He wants us to seek Him in that way. Bread is needed to sustain life. Without food, we die, plain and simple. But there are much more than physical needs. What happens if you don't supply yourself with physical bread? You'll die physically, won't you? But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't fill yourself with the bread of life, how can you have life eternal? So if you die without the bread of life, you will die eternally, spiritually, forever apart from God. Because Jesus is the only bread that will nourish that spiritual life. The multitudes didn't understand that day. Even though they said, We'll follow you, Jesus. Jesus' invitations when He said, Come and be my disciples, was come, follow me. He said that to all of these different followers. Come, follow me. The difference is we see that John and Andrew, as we read last week, immediately left their nets, departed everything, and followed Him. These people felt like, they thought in their mind and maybe in their heart that they'd follow Jesus wherever He would lead them. But as we read on this day, we'll see that many departed from Him that day. Even to the point where Jesus asked the 12, Will you leave me also? Because Jesus' teachings were tough. He said, I am the bread of life. What they wanted was to fill their stomachs when it was good for them. When they did get a little physically hungry, when they wanted their needs met, they were looking for that Savior who would rule and lead them out of Roman oppression. But were they really willing to give up their lives to be a humble servant, to follow Jesus Christ wherever He went, so that they could learn to be like Christ? As we read on, we'll see more. Do you see the difference in what Jesus was trying to teach here? Man cannot live by bread alone. So what does it mean to hunger for hunger and thirst for righteousness then? To be in daily need, to suffer because you don't have enough. to be in daily need of reaching out to Scriptures, to prayer, to seeking out God's will for your life through Jesus Christ. I bet there's not many days that you don't miss a meal. But how many times, and we eat how many meals? But how many times do we feed off the bread of life that day? Do we take 5 minutes here or there? Do we crave Jesus as much as we crave that meal? Do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Scripture tells us also to die daily, to take up our cross and follow Jesus. It's the same principles. You've got to die to your own physical wants and desires and feed off of Jesus. Walk in His footsteps. Be open to the opportunities that He has for you that day. I was listening to Moody the other day and I heard a conversation with a gentleman, and he says that a woman called and asked, could she see him that day? And he said, tell her that I'm really busy, that I can't clear my schedule for her. And then it was Paul Newman or somebody called and said, do you want to have lunch? He said, sure. Because see, we don't get it. And what opportunities lie there before that man with that woman? Now, the Spirit did convict him, and he followed up with her. And I don't know the rest of the story. I just caught it on the road. But there's so many times where we don't see the opportunities that Jesus puts in front of our face to be that light, to share that bread so that others might live. We fight a daily battle, Paul warns us. Daily, again. Just like you need daily food, you need Jesus in your life daily. And you don't just eat one time a day. You eat several meals a day. Sometimes you snack and munch. Sometimes it shows a little bit too much, doesn't it? But what if we feed off of Jesus like that? What would our lives be like? Could we see the difference in what one little meal would bring in feeding multitudes? Matthew 10:28 says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. When we put things into perspective, this world, the things of this world really don't mean as much, do they? Yes, they're there for us to enjoy. That doesn't mean, and that's what part of the problem is we think that if we say yes to Jesus about everything, that He'll say, go there, do this. And He might. But He wants you to be willing to follow Him. He wants you to feed off of Him daily and be willing to go wherever that might be. So I asked you before if you've ever been hungry. Let me give you a definition of man's words of hunger from dictionary.com. It says to die or perish from lack of food or nourishment. I didn't know hunger meant that. I thought just hunger meant I needed a Snickers, because Snickers satisfies, right? But this is our definition. To be in the process of perishing. I got starvation, so let me go back to hunger first. Hunger is having a desire, craving, or need for feed. Feeling hunger, a characteristic of hunger. Strongly, eagerly desirous. Lacking needful or desirable elements. Not fertile, poor. Marked by scarcity of food. And that's what Jesus is describing. Starvation or starving is to die or perish from the lack of food or nourishment. To die in the process or perish or suffer severely from hunger. To suffer from extreme poverty and need. So see, if you don't feed your hunger, it will lead to starvation. Sorry that I got that mixed up. When we're hungry, if we don't nourish ourselves, it can lead to starvation, famine, drought, where eventually we will die. And the same applies to our spiritual as well as our physical. So have you been hungry? Craving, desiring, a need for feed, feeling hunger? Maybe. Have you reached starvation? Probably not. But if you're not feeding, you will eventually reach the point of starvation, won't you? So if you're not feeding off the bread of life, you're going to be starving to death spiritually. Do you see the difference? And Jesus feeds all who ask. In John 6, 13,000 people ate and were full, and there were leftovers that they could share with others. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. It's a tough teaching. In John 16, Jesus says bread or loaves, depending on your Bible, 17 times. And He's not talking about the physical most of those times. He asked Philip this question in John 6, verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards Him, He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Do you think He was only talking about physical bread? Because it says that He did that to test Him. That He was there teaching as Jesus always does so we can be like Christ. He wasn't just feeding the crowd to take care of their physical needs. I think they would have been fine if they skipped a meal. I don't think any of them were to the point of starvation. He was making a point here so that He could say, "I am the bread of life. Now is the time to decide if you're going to follow Me, you're going to put your words to where your mouth is, or if you're going to leave." And if we read on, we'll find out some terrible things that happened that day. In verse 15, it says that Jesus went to the mountain alone to pray. And then after that, we read about Jesus walking on the water. In verse 22, it says, the very next day. So the very next day after feeding the 5,000, we're going to encounter this as reading further in John. The very next day after they sang the song in Israel, they were moaning and groaning and complaining about God. "Why did You bring me out in this desert to die? I'm starving to death." You're not starving to death after one day. And if you don't have faith in God with the mighty miracles that He's doing, what's going to matter to you? He sent His only Son to die for you. What else can He do? So many people nowadays say, "I just don't believe God loves me." Looking at the world around them and everything, how can you say that He doesn't love you when He gave His only Son for you? See, it's our choice whether we believe or not. And it's our choice if we say that we believe. If you read John up prior to this point, you'll see that many people said they believe. And John 3:16 says, "For all those who believe." But see, Jesus knows who truly believes. Because if you truly believe, at some point you will follow Him. Because you can't, as James said, "Show me your faith without your works." You can't really do it. Sure, we can be saved by faith alone. The thief on the cross is an example of that. But if we're alive, then we should be living for Christ, eating the bread that only He provides. So reading on in John chapter 6, verse 25, right after it says the next day, it says, "When they found Him on the other side of the lake, they asked Him, 'Rabbi,'" they knew exactly who He was, "'teacher, master, when did you get here?' Jesus answered, 'Very truly I tell you, you are looking for Me not because you saw the signs I perform, but," the exact opposite, "because you ate loaves and you had your fill." He knew they were only there for their physical needs. "Do not work for food that spoils, but do exactly the opposite, for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him God the Father has placed His seal of approval." Then they asked Him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the One He has sent." So they asked Him, "What sign will you give?" Are you serious? He just fed 13,000 people the day before and you're asking for a sign. Sometimes we are so blinded when we don't want to do something. When we want to say, "God, You're not really calling me to do this today, are You?" And we want to see that burning bush. But if you have that in your heart that I need to go and make right this relationship with this person, then most likely it's probably coming from you reading scriptures and everything, the Spirit pricking your heart. And that means today, not tomorrow, not next week, but today. "What sign will You give that we may see it and believe You? What will You do? Our ancestors ate the man in the wilderness." Oh, they not don't even remember that story, do they? They ate the man in the wilderness, and just like we saw, they complained and grumbled. But God provided for them every single day. And that generation missed out on the promised land. If you miss out on the true bread of life, you will miss out on the true promised land. That's what Jesus is trying to say. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is My Father who gives you true bread from heaven.'" And the true bread is here now. I am Jesus. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That's why He's here, to bring us eternal life, not just to fill our stomachs. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still do not believe. Like I said, if you read prior, you'll see believe, believe, believe. But Jesus knows your heart. He knows whether you believe or not. He knows if you truly seek Him, if you're wholeheartedly committed to Him. Verse 37, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. Now, if Jesus didn't even do His own will on this earth, then who are we to say, next day, Jesus? Well, you know, the next day will be today, and you'll probably put off it again, won't you? Jesus is calling today. He says, come, follow me. Not next week, not later, now. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those He has given me, but raise them up that last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up on that last day. If you truly believe, if you were there that day or if you're here today, then won't you eat? If you truly believe who Jesus Christ is, why would you put Him off for another day? If you say you're a Christian, you profess it with your mouth, what is the actions of your heart saying? Are you hungry? If you're not feeding off Jesus, then you might even be starving and not realize it. And just around the corner from starvation means death, that you're famished and you perish. In verse 28, they said, what must we do? In verse 34, they said, always give us this bread. But they didn't really want it. They wanted something different. They weren't really willing to believe in Jesus Christ and take the commitment that it took to put those words to actions. Verse 34 says, always give us this bread. You would think those people would choose to follow Jesus. They've already been with Him for X amount of time, up to a year and a half. But did they really believe? No. They might have even thought they believed. That's the sad thing. They might have thought they really believed because they gave up and they did this and that. But Jesus is saying at this point, you've got to decide if you're going to follow me or not. Verse 41 says, at this the Jews there began to grumble, just like they did in the Promised Land so long ago, didn't they? About Him, because He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They still thought He was talking about physical. They didn't understand. How could this Jesus be God? Verse 42 says, they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can He now say, I come down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on that last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from Him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. And Jesus says it again, I am the bread of life. There's no other way. You will starve spiritually if you don't feed off of that bread. Verse 49 says, your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and will not die. And He's not talking about physically. See, Satan is a tempter. That's why He said to Eve in the garden, is that what God really said? And He said, You will not certainly die. You know, he had a half-truth there. You won't die physically. They didn't die physically that day, but they died spiritually that day. They broke the right relationship with God and were separated from Him. And there's nothing they can do to put themselves back. There's nothing we can do to put ourselves back in that right relationship. That's why God sent Jesus, His only Son, to make things right. But we have to believe. And to believe means that if you believe, you'll eat. If you believe you'll die today, if you don't eat a meal, then you'll eat that meal today, won't you? Well, how much more important is it for your spiritual life, for all of eternity? Verse 51 says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. I don't know about you, but this just brings chills to me. I see over and over again that if we simply eat from Jesus, we will, without a shadow of doubt, spend eternity with Him and with God, our Father. Verse 55, For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. Get it through your head. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. If we go on to read, though, in John 6, we read verse 66, and it says that that day many people departed from Him because they didn't want to follow those teachings. These are people that said, we are disciples. And see, we get it backwards. We think that once we become Christians, later on we might become disciples. But Jesus says, come follow me. The day that you do that is the day that you become His disciples, so that you can be trained, so that you can learn to be like Him. And then when you are like Him, like Christ, that's the definition of the word Christian, like Christ. So if He is calling you, He's not calling you to just sit there and go to your closet and read your prayers and Scripture. He's calling you to be a light to the world. Scripture's clear about it. He's calling you to read that, to share that bread of life, to consume it each day, and to share it with others. That's why there were baskets of leftovers that day, so that they could be shared with others. And Jesus wasn't talking about the physical. He was talking again about sharing with others what He can do. He was sent so that we could be reconciled to God. John 3:16 is 100% true. Don't ever think that I'm not quoting that. For all who believe in Him will be saved. But there's a lot more to believing. When you're put to the test, what will you say that day? Will it be like John 6:66? Will you walk away? Or will you say, no, I am committed. My heart is where I speak my actions, and I choose to serve You, God. No matter where You take me, no matter what it costs me, I will follow You. And you will be blessed. You will be filled, nourishing-wise, spiritually. You will be given eternal life. So do you feed on Him for eternal life? Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 15 through 20 says this, In their hunger You gave them bread from heaven. In their thirst You brought them water from the rock. You told them to go in and take possession of the land You had sworn with uplifted hand to give to them. But they, our ancestors, became arrogant, stiff-necked, and they did not obey Your commands. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles You performed among them. They became stiff-necked in their rebellion. Appointed a leader in order to return them to slavery. But You are forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore You do not desert them. Even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, This is our God who brought You out of Egypt. Or when they committed awful blasphemies. Because of Your great compassion You did not abandon them in the wilderness. By the day the pillar of cloud did not fail to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You do not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. If Jesus is relating this time in the life of the Israelites, because this should be familiar to all the people there, he is telling them, you missed the promised land. You didn't obey God's commands. You ate the bread reluctantly. And he's saying here, the same applies. I am the bread of life. Without eating from me, from this, from my life, from my commands, you will not have eternal life. Quit being a stiff-necked, rebellious people. We don't look at it that way. We don't look at it as when we say, God, tomorrow I'll do this as rebellion. But isn't that what it is? If we say no to God today, isn't it being rebellious? Isaiah 55, 1 through 3 says, come all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. God loves you. He loves you so much, that's why He sent Jesus to die for your sins. It doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter what good you've done or how many bad things you've done. God is no respecter of persons. He says, I love you enough that I sent Jesus. And Jesus is saying, come to me that day in John, and He's saying it again today. Come and follow after me and live eternally. But you've got to decide, will you come? Or will you procrastinate? Will you rebel and be a stiff-necked people? That's what Scripture says. Revelation 2, verse 17 says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is Jesus' writing to the churches, those who have assembled together as Christians to live and be a light to the world. To the one who is victorious, I will give them some of the hidden manna. He has so many great things in store for us. Hidden manna. Manna was something they knew not what was that day, but God rained it down from heaven and provided for them. And He's got these special hidden things for us for that day for when we come to heaven. God is a loving God who loves us so much. We're going to do communion next, but I'm going to close in prayer. And Jacob, will you go tell the kids if they want to join in? Okay? Jerry. Jacob and Michaela are going to help serve. So if you want to grab your granddaughter. Matter of fact, he's bringing her to you. Goddaughter. Goddaughter. You get privileged to do that. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to start communion. If you want to join in communion, you're welcome to. You don't have to. Okay? It's when we remember what Jesus Christ did, and what more opportune today since we're talking about the bread of life, where Jesus gave His life for us. So let's pray and then we're going to start communion. Father, we thank You so much for Jesus' willingness that He gave up everything to come be with us. We thank You that even though He was betrayed, even though He was cursed and spit upon, He still had held true to the cause because He was obedient to You and because He loved us so much. Help us to not be stiff-necked and rebellious. Help us not to put ourselves before You, O God, or any other idols, but help us to lay them down at Jesus' feet. And as Scripture tells us, that He'll take it upon His shoulders, that His burden is light. Father, we just need to come, not worry about any of the things of this world, but come if we truly believe. Father, I pray that if there are any things today that people need to give to You, Father, that they will give them to You today as they come and partake in the Lord's Supper. Father, we do this today in remembrance of what Jesus did, how much He loved us. Even that night, He knew that Judas would betray Him, but He still washed Judas's feet. He still broke bread with Judas. Your love is so amazing. We thank You for it, Father. We thank You for the opportunity to be in church and freely worship You. We thank You for the opportunity to share in this covenant that Jesus made by breaking bread and sharing the cup of His blood, Father. Father, let us be a light to the world. Let us be obedient. Help take away any distractions that hinder us. As Paul says, let us cast away any weight, any burden, so that we may bring glory and honor to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.